All right. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, good evening, or you're sound asleep somewhere.
Yep.
At 3 a.m.
So we're kind of getting into the end period of today. So,
yes.
But we've still got plenty of good stuff to talk about.
We've reached the end times.
Yeah. So.
Yes. It is 2012. Right?
Those of you who are still with us in Europe at the moment, well, hey, respect.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of getting late there.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All that.
Okay, so we're now going to move on to talk about, again, kind of theme running through this stuff. You know, we talked about background processing and sort of some of the things you can do. We showed a toast in that little demo, but now we're going to extend it and start looking at the new tiles. So this session is all about the new tiles story.
Look at those new tiles.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Great.
It's not as good as the Jessica Alba tiles from her commercial. So,
this is your phone.
This is my phone. It's really unique. Yeah. I have email on it. All right.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the tile story. The tile story. Can I come on?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Facebook.
M7 tiles and lock screen notifications. Yes. Here we go. So, as usual, where are we in the schedule? Schedule. Where are we in the agenda? Whatever. Oh, she's not working. What's going on?
Uh-oh.
We've got a technology... breakdown.
Uh-oh. Technology breakdown. All right.
Come on. Interesting.
Un momento, por favor.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're back to... Let's see if we can... Let's try this again.
Rewind.
We didn't have that special space marked for indexing on the cassette tape like we needed. And so we're going back. And let's see that. All right, give it a... All right. All right, and we're back.
Oh, did you do that? Or did
I did that?
That. All right. So, okay, this is where we are. As you can see, we're pushing on towards the end of the day. Push notifications being the next one. We're good. We're good. And that is tomorrow.
And there's
lots
a bunch
of fun
stuff.
To come tomorrow. A bunch of stuff tomorrow.
It looks like we'll never get to lunch tomorrow.
No chance.
There's like 1,000 sessions in the morning.
There's 1,000 sessions in the morning, yeah.
Wow.
Some are short and some are long, as you saw. So this afternoon's are kind of coming on, quite short ones. It's quite nice. So this one is about the new tiles story, the local tiles API. Various ways you can update tiles. We're going to touch on the background agents as well, so bring in a theme from the last session. And we're also going to talk about lock screen notifications and lock screen background. What has that got to do with tiles, you might ask?
I have no idea.
Well, the reason why it's in this session is that actually the lock screen notifications, the little count and... And you know, the text comes off the main tile. So this is the connection.
Uh-huh. Excellent. Yeah. Well done. Good
idea. So, first of all, tiles on Windows Phone 8. So, you know, these live tiles on the start screen, this is one of the key differentiators for Windows Phone compared to the UI of other smartphone platforms. And Windows Phone users, they love the glance and go capability. So you can take a look at your start screen, which is personalized. It's very much an expression of you and the things that interest you. So you can look at your phone and say, this is my smartphone. And see what information is changing on the tiles. And this is the big deal. They are actually alive, these tiles, so that they can be updated by some of the things we're going to talk about in this session. So you can keep, you as an application developer, this is a really, really cool way of making your app come alive and connect with your users. So, the tiles, these are known as live tiles because they do update. So, number of missed calls and unread emails and new stuff you downloaded from servers and that kind of stuff.
And clearly, Plants vs. Zombies looking at this screen.
Oh, right. Well, I don't know where I got that image from. No. Yeah, there you go.
No, it's one of our stock images, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, so developers can write code in their apps that use the local tiles API to create and update tiles directly from the app running on the phone. And you can also run code to update tiles from background agents. And you can also update tiles by running code on a server which sends updates via Microsoft Push Notification Services. So Push Notifications is going to be in the very next session. So for now, we're going to concentrate on the local tiles story. So, a bit of information, the Live Tile 101. So, the Live Tile is a shortcut to an app. So, when the user taps on it, the app opens. That in essence, is what it is. And the appearance of a tile, it can be static, or you can update it to report changed information to the user. Now, the only way that the main application tile can be pinned to the start screen is if the user goes into the apps menu and taps and holds on the app from the programs menu and then on the context menu does pin to start. That's the only way that the main application tile can get onto there. But actually, you know, there's no difference really between a main application tile and secondary tiles. They're still just tiles. The user can tap and hold on any tile on the start screen to enable edit mode, where you can reorder them, move them around, change the size now, or delete a tile. Now, in Windows Phone OS 7.1, we only had one tile size. So that's that flicker thing, that medium-sized tile. That was the only one we had. But in Windows Phone 8, we now have these three different tile sizes. So you have small, medium, and large.
Supersize me.
Supersize me, yeah. Now, there's a number of things you can do with tiles. You can support multiple sizes, customizable. Choose from one of three visual templates. We've got three different templates now to help your app stand out. I know they have a good deal more on Windows 8. They have loads of these things. But we've got three. And you can offer a variety of secondary tiles to your users. So the tile API, the one key thing here is that this is the full, what you've got access to here is pretty much the full tile experience, with a few exceptions like the fancy People Hub one, which has like lots of little mini tiles on it. But mostly you've got actually the full tile experience is exposed to you as a third-party developer. So this is an improvement from what we had in Windows Phone 7.1. So we have three tile templates you can choose from. The flip template, it flips from front to back. So this is very similar to what we had in Windows Phone 7.1. So that's the one on the top there. So the middle one, the red square there, is actually the back of the tile. So that would flip over and show the image on the front as well. The middle one is the iconic. So this is this Windows Phone design principles one. And then the bottom one is the cycle tile template, which you can hook it up with a list of up to 9 images, and it will just cycle nicely between them. There's animations as they change. Those animations are fixed. You don't have any control over that. It's just part of the package. So all of the content you see on those tiles is all actually addressable by you. They are a collection of data properties that you can program. So all the text elements, the counts, and the images, all of those can be changed by you as the developer. The content that shows depends on the template you choose and the tile size. So most of these tile templates allow you to include images, and the sizes for those are shown in that table there. As with other image things we talked about, you know, these are sized for the high-resolution screen, the WXGA screen resolution, and then are scaled automatically down for WVGA and 720p phones. So let's have a quick look at each of these templates. This is the flip tile template, which flips from front to back. The image on the slide shows the API name associated with each aspect. So you can see there each of the properties that you can change. All of that stuff is programmable by you. And they have an object called the flip tile data class, which you use to update any of these properties. The cycle one just cycles between 1 to 9 images. So you've got much less that's variable in this, since most of the content is just about the image. The count, as you can see, is shown on like that, and then there is a title, and then the images. That's all it is. The iconic one, this displays a small image in the center of the tile, and it follows the Windows Phone design principles. The image slide shows the API name associated with each aspect of the tile template. For this one, we've got an iconic tile data class, which you use for updating these kind of tiles. Actually, notice one thing. The small icon image is used on both the small tile and actually on the big tile. So the small icon just appears next to the count on the big tile. But clearly, as you can see, with the big tile, you've got these text fields that you can set as well. So I talked a bit about primary and secondary tiles. The application tile is the one that is kind of the default tile for your application. That can be created by the user only when the user taps and holds on the application name in the programs list and then selects pin to start. And you set the properties for that in the application manifest, and we'll do this in a demo in a moment. This cannot be permanently deleted. It can be shown or not shown, but it always exists as an entity. So it may or may not be pinned to start. But even if the user has not pinned the application tile to the start screen, you can still run code to update it, which, you know, you may think, well, why would you want to do that? One reason, actually, as you'll find, is that the lock screen notifications take their information off this application tile. So the way you can update it is by the shell tile APIs. The application tile is always the first item in the active tiles collection, even if it's not pinned to the start. You can update it through push notifications, or there's also an object called the shell tile schedule APIs. Secondary tiles can be created as a result of user interaction. Can be created only as a result of user input in an application. So there's an API called the shelltile.create, which creates a tile on the start screen. Now, whenever you create one programmatically, it will close your application and navigate to the start screen to show the user the new tile. So this is one reason why you could never create an app that would spam the start screen and create 100 tiles. Well, you could, but the user would have to say, would see this happening.
Right.
So these can be, the user can delete a tile just by tapping and holding on the tile and choosing delete. Or you can actually delete secondary tiles from within application code as well. And they can be updated by the same methods as the primary tile. So here's how you define the application tile. You just do this initial layout of the application tile in the manifest. And part of that is selecting which tile template you want to use for the application tile, and then specify the images to use. In new projects, they have placeholders. You can see that on that image in the tiles subfolder of the assets folder. You get some stock PNGs that you can just replace with your own images. So this is something you can set most of the properties of just in the new manifest editor. So this is where you can select the template to use, select the images that you want to use. So let's have a play with that as a little bit of a demo. Here I've got a version of the Back to Our Friend the Contoso cookbook. But we're going to actually have some fun with the tiles of this now. So I'm going to create a default tile at the moment. So I'm going to go into the manifest editor. So let's expand this. Well, actually, first of all, let's get our images right. So here's our assets folder. And in there, we've got tiles. And you just say, if I just hover over that, hopefully you can see that. You just get these stock gray images with a white sun on it. You can see there. So nothing terribly... That's what you get by default. You give them 5 here, but actually, obviously, you only need to set the ones that you're interested in. I've got some images that I've already set up here. So let's just drop those into there. We're going to replace the ones that are already in there. So now I've actually replaced this with some proper artwork. We've now got a nice Contoso and a whisk there for the medium tile.
Lovely whisk.
It's a beautiful whisk, isn't it? And there's a small one. Yeah, and we've actually put a couple for the iconic one as well, but we could choose whichever. If you select the iconic tile template, these would be used. If you select the flip template or the cycle tile template, these will be used. So let's go and actually set this up. I'm going to start up the manifest editor. And there's our app icon we said before. Here we go. Template flip. So you can choose whichever one you want. I am going to select the template flip thing. We're going to check the support for large tiles. Let's set the tile title. It's default to the name of the app, but let's just put a space in there so we've got to make it a bit more readable. And then I'm going to navigate to each of these. I'll just make sure this is right. So we're going to go and explicitly set these. So where are we going? There we go. Go off and find our assets tiles folder. So this is a flip cycle tile small. So that's the first one. Make sure the medium one is there. And also select the large one. So there we go. So we've got all the 3 images are selecting there. I'm now going to deploy. Not even going to run it. I'm just going to deploy the solution to the emulator. And if we go off to our emulator, once that has built and deployed, have we built? It's connecting to it at the moment. You see on the bottom line there, we're getting a progress report. So we wait until that is deploy succeeded. So now I can go off to... not that one. Let's go over to the Contoso cookbook. I can now tap and hold on it, and we can pin that to the start screen. And now there we go. So there's our default tile. You can have a play with this. You tap and hold on it, and there's the small tile version. Tap and hold on it again, and we're going to expand out to the big one. But the big one's looking a bit empty, so we can actually put a little bit more information on there. So I'm actually going to try with the other one now. So let's just unpin that again. Delete it. So there's our tile gone. And I'm going to go in here now. I'm just going to change our manifest to, let's go for the iconic one. Try a different one. Again, I'm going to support the large tiles one. And this time, as you can see, we haven't got any images supplied. So it says mandatory. We have to go off and select the small one and the medium one. And so there we go. We can actually we set that up, and we can deploy this one again. So take a look at what that one looks like. Deploying again. Deploy succeeded. So we're going to find our emulator. Here we go. Contoso cookbook pin to start, and this time we've got the whisk.
There it is.
Yeah, there we go. So this is a little bit empty at the moment. Small one's okay, but the big one, there's not very much on there. So we can play a little bit more with this. Let's delete that again. Some of the fields you can set are not through this UI. So I'm going to go in and right-click on it and go into the XML editor instead. You get a warning because it's already opening there. So all of that that tile stuff is actually here. This is where it's all defined. There's the path to our images. There's a count, which is 0, which means it doesn't show. So we could just update that to 5, which doesn't have any application significance. But let's set some of these other ones, large content as one. So you could put code in the startup to do this. But then let's put Contoso Cookbook into large content 1. And we're going to put in large content 2 the best recipes from around the world. So that's set that up. Actually, that would probably do us. And then we'll deploy the solution yet again and see what difference that now makes. Deploy succeeded. Off the emulator. We're going to pin that one. Pin to start. And now you can see we've got that count appearing on there, on the small one as well. And more importantly, on the big one, you've actually got that text is turning up as well. So now we've got a nice rich tile using the Windows Phone design style. All right.
That's great.
Isn't that great?
It is.
Okay, so back to...
They're not just three different sizes. They're completely different types
styles.
Of data
yeah.
and things
yeah.
coming out that you can surface to the user.
Yeah.
Not just for recipes. I think there's a lot of valuable and enterprise applications that can surface some critical real-time data up
yeah.
to users.
Yeah, not just for recipes.
Not just for recipes anymore.
Okay, so, if we go back to the slides. Here we go, the application. So that was the application tile. Now, the local, so that was the kind of default one. So you set mm-hmm. that in the manifest, but that's kind of only the start of where things get interesting. So we can also create secondary tiles using the local tile API. We can update the primary tile, and we can create secondary tiles. So secondary tiles, you place to place on the start screen a tile that has particular relevance to a particular event or context mm-hmm. or some prominent sub-feature of your application. So a good example of that is a news app that allows secondary tiles to be created that take the user directly to a specific category of news. Or an airline app, you could allow creation of a tile which you keep updated with your booking for an upcoming flight. So secondary tiles allow exciting new possibilities for interacting with your users and new ways of presenting relevant information to them. So any one of these tiles you could you can click on, and they will launch into the relevant application. So this is an example of creating tiles. Here we're newing up a flip tile data object, so this is obviously for a flip tile, and then you set all the properties on it. You notice we're using the MS-APEX URI format there. So APEX means content that has been shipped as content. This is the folder where the app is exploded to. But here's the important thing. You look at the bottom line there, shelltile.create, and there you give it a new URI. This is going to launch to a specific page in your application, and you could put some stuff in there in the query string as well. And you pass that tile data object. And if you want to update an existing tile, the shelltile.activeTiles collection gives you all of the tile objects that you've currently got in the application. There will always be at least one, because the application tile is always in there, whether it's pinned or not.
Right.
Secondary tiles, if they exist, will be there. If they don't exist, they're not. So that's simply what it is. So once you've found the tile to update, you can new up one of those objects. And actually, all you have to do is set the property that you want to update, rather than you don't have to populate the whole thing. And then call tile to find.update, so the shell tile.update method to make that change to that tile from your code. So here's the example of getting the first or default tile, the application tile, and setting properties on it to update it. In this case, it's ms-apex colon slash slash slash. That should be updater. That's wrong. Local. There you go. So there's an error on that slide. Should be ms-appdata colon whack 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 local. So, and then you can update that main tile. Back to the demos. I'm going to switch to a new version of the Contoso codebook.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Every dime.
We keep piling in great stuff into this thing. So this one has been enhanced. So I'm just going to run it on the emulator. Here's application. We're loading it in. And we're going to pick a French category. And why have we hit this breakpoint? Oh, OK, so this one, yeah, so the key thing here is we're in the onNavigator 2. We're walking through all the normal code. We do our orientation stuff. We're setting all sorts of things. Here we go. Features.tile update main tile. So this updates our primary tile with the recently visited group. Let's just step into that. Here's the code to find that tile and to... It finds the first tile, which is an iconic tile, and then we change some of the properties on it. So now the wide content is recent activity, browse such and such a group with a total of so many recipes. So let that run, and we will have update. If I actually just go back to the start screen, our main tile down at the bottom here, there we go. So it says browsed, recent activity, browse French group with a total of 6 recipes. So we've updated the main tile from within the application. Let's go back straight back into the application. It does the onNavigator 2 stuff again, so just let that run. And then when you also, we can create a secondary tile here. So we've got now on the app bar, we've got a pin thing.
Yeah.
Now notice what happened when I click this. It closes the app because we've run the code, we've created a new secondary tile, and it's created a new tile that is showing which is a cycle tile, actually. So let's just make that a bigger. There we go. So it's now going to actually, you can see how you've got nice animations built into that. It's actually a cycle tile, so it's going to change between the different images that are in that, the recipes that are in that French category. There we go. It's a nice, going over to some macaroons.
And not to be outdone, you're still getting your toast notifications.
They're still coming. Oh, well, they come up. I didn't notice that. Yeah, it's so busy, this emulator. So yeah, still going. So there we go. And now, of course, our icon on the app bar changes to unpin. And there's more, because we can go to Quiche Lorraine, and there's a like thing on here. So we can hit like, and that also creates a secondary tile just for that recipe, Quiche Lorraine, a slice. So this is going to be a flip tile one. So it actually gives you an abbreviated list of the ingredients, which is kind of annoying, because if you thought that was it and went out shopping, and then sat down with your pack of flour says, okay, how do I make this quiche Lorraine? You'd find a few things missing. But anyway,
yeah, sadly,
it's the principle that's important here.
That's right.
So now we've actually got 3 different tiles on here. We've got the iconic one there. We've got the cycle tile one there, and we've got the flip tile there. So all three are visible. Yeah, isn't that nice? Okay. Back to the tiles, the slides, rather. And, of course, we can update tiles from a background agent. So when the first version of Windows Phone, the only way of doing it was from push notifications from the cloud or for something called a task schedule, which I'm not going to cover in this, which is a way of updating tiles according to a renewal schedule. But this is a really good use for a background agent. So we can update tiles from a background agent as well. So back to the demo machine, please. This is a very simple little demo. Open the next iteration of this. So yeah, as you say, we keep piling on the great stuff. So Contosa Cookbook has now got its own background agent. And in it, there's some code that all it does is it gets the application's main tile, it gets a random count, and what we're simulating here is some new social networking features. So you've got a community of users, a group of recipe sharers. So you can actually see on the tile that we've created that your community has shared some more recipes, and you'll be able to go off and download them when we've written the other bits, which we're going to come on to tomorrow.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So loading that one up, it will be scheduling the agent. So actually, that will have run already because I've got that hooked on. Oh, the location tracker's still running.
Oh, good.
Oh my gosh! There's an accidental. I pressed and hold on it, which brought the speech thing. Right. Yes. Stress. Okay. There we go. It's already run the background agent. So now, new postings. Your community has shared three great new recipes, and it updates the count. So this is really one of the real nice uses for a background agent is to update tiles and keep your user connected to whatever the data is that's relevant to your application. A really nice way of doing things.
You're bringing it to them. They don't have to go to some website.
Yeah, and it's this glance and go thing. You can look at the screen and say, there's something interesting there. Absolutely. I want to know what that is. And, of course, they're going to look at the changed information. It's going to catch their attention. Right. They'll tap on the tile and they'll run your app, which, of course, is what we want.
Of course, that's what we want.
We want popular apps.
Yes.
Ones that connect with users are always very popular. And yeah, actually, when you look at the top apps on Windows Phone, most of them use live tiles in an imaginative way. It's the key differentiating feature for Windows Phone. All right, back to the slides. Right, that was the end of the tile story, really. Okay. So, but this other topic is about lock screen notifications on Windows Phone. So on Windows Phone 7, this area, notifications area, so that area underneath the date and time you can see there, and the little icons on the bottom was just reserved to the first-party apps, this notifications area. And the user could select the background image from supplied wallpapers or from pictures that they had on their phone, from whether they'd taken shots or synced them from a desktop. But now on Windows Phone 8, this area is opened up to us as well. So now we've got this lock screen settings page on the phone where the user can choose from any apps that are lock screen aware to put icon and count onto the screen there. And they can choose an app to show detailed status. So if you want to do lock screen notifications, all you have to do is create a 24 by 24 pixel PNG image. This is this tiny icon that will appear on the bottom of the screen on the lock screen if it's selected. You must contain only white pixels and a transparent background. And it must be called lockicon.png. Oh, no, actually, it doesn't have to be called lockicon.png. That is the default name.
Right.
Yeah. If you use another name, you need to put it in the manifest. Again, you have to edit it using the XML editor and put it in this device lock image URI. There is a bug. Don't have any white space around that name between those tags. So I don't believe that was fixed for release. So just make sure you put it as it's shown on the slide there. And then you just need to go into the manifest again with the XML editor and add this into the extension section, which you may have to create. It must appear immediately after the tokens element. That will be there, always. You add this extension section in and put these exact magic numbers. They never change. This is what you do. but you do have a choice of which ones you put in there. So if you want to support the icon count on the lock screen notification, you have that top extension. If you want to also include the text field, so you can be the big text provider, you add the second extension. So you can have one or other or both.
Okay.
And then, how do you update the icon count and text? Hey, well, it's just taken from your application's primary tile. So just go in and update your primary tile in the normal way, exactly the way we just saw, and that will be what is put onto the lock screen notification. So this is how your count updates of things that are unseen that they need to look at. And this is one good reason for the simulation dashboard, because we've got this lock screen. You can put the lock screen up on the emulator. So the lock screen notifications, if we can go to the demo. Go get that. Here's the lock screens notification one. So this one, just take a look at the manifest, open it with the XML editor. And like I said, we've got our tokens element, and underneath that, you have this extensions thing. So with these two extensions already in there for the icon count and the text field, and actually, we've already got the extension in for the next topic I'm about to talk about, which is the lock screen background. What we're going to do now is run this version on the emulator. And actually, I didn't even need to run it. So we're going to just go back. As you can see, our tile has got... Oh, I wish I'd turned that location tracker off. Go and disable it or something. Okay. we've got the 8 things. So... do I have to... Is this going to work? Let's see. Go off to the settings screen. And we go to the lock screen. And then we can choose one of the apps. And Contoso Cookbook is there.
There it is.
And our little whisk has turned up.
Ah.
Now we can go back to... actually, we don't have to go back to the start screen. Because now what we want to do is look at the lock screen. So let's bring up the simulation dashboard, which is under the... tools menu, or in fact you can bring it up by right-clicking, I believe, on the solution, is it? I forget where that is. Maybe not when you're running. So let's go into the tools menu, simulation dashboard. Here is the simulation dashboard. It's kind of weird in this resolution. There's the networking thing, which we'll come back to. Here's the lock screen, so we can just set it to locked. Go and have a look. And there we go.
There it is.
A lock screen's up on that blooming background location tracker. Still going.
You know, it wouldn't...
But you can see we've got our little whisk there. We've
I like
got five
that.
On there and a little so beautiful. Yeah, there we go. So that you can see that works. Let's go back, and actually now we're just gonna run it as well. Let's run the app. Let's go back. Let's run it from here. Go and find Contessa Cookbook. And we can go to any recipe and let's see. Save that one, and then we can like it. And this is the lock screen background. We can actually get our app to become the lock screen background. You get this dialogue. The user is asked, do you agree to let this app become your lock screen background image provider? They can always change it any time,
right.
Otherwise. But you say, yes, I'm happy with that. And we need to go and look at the lock screen again. So back to the simulation dashboard. Just toggle that, put it back onto locked. And there you go, your favorite dish has become the background image for the lock screen.
Wow, your favorite image and a whisk all at the same time on a lock screen.
What could be better? Yeah, this Contoso Cookbook is definitely the premier app on Windows Phone at the moment.
Clearly.
Yeah. So back to the slides. So I'll run through these very quickly. So you saw that demo, lock screen background. Similar thing to the other one, you just simply need to update the manifest. You already saw that. And then you put that extension in, lock screen background. Like I say, this consumer ID magic number never changes. Just put it in like that. And then once you've done that, you need to add some code in, which is what caused that dialogue to come up. So this lock screen, you see the top line there, the top line within the try-catch, where it says await lockscreenmanager.requestaccessasync. What that does is it goes into the phone settings, figures out if you are already the lock screen image provider. If you're not, that's when you see that dialogue come up where it says, oh, hey, are you okay for this app to become the lock screen image provider?
Right.
It wouldn't bother putting that dialogue up if it already was. The user could say no to that, of course. So then the next line becomes important, where you have lockscreenmanager.isProvidedByCurrentApplication. So that finds out if you are currently the lock screen provider. And if you are, then you can use the lockscreen.setImageURI to put an image out onto the lock screen. So that's the code. It has to be run from the foreground app or from a background agent, although clearly you can't call the lockscreenmanager.requestAccessAsync from a background agent because you can't have anything that would generate UI. But you can change you can call the lockscreenSetImageURI from those places. That is it.
Very cool.
Yeah. There's the dialogue, which you get. And here's the deal. So where you're going to access local images, ms-apex URI, whack, 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 for an image that you shipped as content in your application. So it's in the application folder where the application gets exploded. Or if you want to use an image stored in the local folder, then you need to use ms-app-data, whack, 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 local, whack. And then it must be in that special folder
special
you talked
folder,
about,
right.
The shared shell content folder. Once you've got your image, you call lockscreen.setImageURI. And I did the demo. So there we go. That is all about tiles and lock screen notifications.
That's
and
great.
All that kind of good stuff.
I liked it.
Good. Yeah, it's fun.
I want that app.
Yeah.
I want the recipe app.
Yeah, you can have all of this.
Excellent.
All right, we're going to take another break, and then when we come back, we're into... What have we got next?
Something... We're going to be a little pushy, I think.
Ah, push notifications.
Yes.
Cool. Great stuff. All right, that's fun. All right, we'll see you soon.
Ciao.